Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and the 24th verse. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's a wonderful book, the book of Proverbs. In it is so much divine instruction. And not only divine instruction, but too, in it there is so much teaching for every one of God's dear children. And the Lord has wonderfully used this sacred book over the years for divine counsel and instruction to his dear people. But this word seemed to so rest upon me. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And why, if we have friends, is that friendship so wonderfully manifested? It's because love flowing from heart to heart. If you have real friends, there's a real love to them. And they should be shown. It seemed to stand out so much to me when this text dropped in. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And I just want to pursue that thought really, because there's a wonderful certainty here given by the Lord in this. And remember, this was not just Solomon's word. It was written by inspiration, the Holy Spirit. A divine counsel. That he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Otherwise, you see, it would divide friends if there's not that friendliness returning to those that show friendship to us. But who are our friends? This is the vital thing. We know it is right that we should show friendliness to all men, even to the world and to the ungodly. We shouldn't stand aloof to them. But the true friends to a child of God will be those that love the Lord, that love his truth, that love his word, that love his ways. And you can walk with them. I thought much this week, can two walk together except they be agreed? And what a wonderful thing it is. You see, you can look at that firstly concerning the sinner and the Lord. By nature, we can never be friends to the Lord unless he first is friends to us. We shall never know anything of the real love of Christ unless he manifests that love to us. We love him because he first loved us. And those that have the Lord Jesus as their friend, like those that walk the earth with him, you know, he had some good friends in those dear disciples, in those dear women. They were true friends of the Saviour. And they loved the things that he loved. And they hated the things that he hated. That didn't mean to say they weren't poor fallen sinners, because they were. But the Lord had given them a love to him, a friendship to him, which the world and the ungodly never have. And I thought earlier, you know, what Jesus said in John 15, he says this: greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he goes further, and he qualifies it to the dear disciples, and may we lay it to heart today. Ye are my friends, and don't forget it. This is what Jesus said. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. It's a wonderful proof of friendship to the Lord, to his people. Whatsoever I command you. Think of that word, love thy neighbour as thyself. Do we do it? When he says thy neighbour, he doesn't just mean those that dwelt close to him. It's those that we walk with daily, deal with daily. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. A man that hath friends, you know, it's a wonderful thing, the friendship there was. And let me use it for illustration from the Word of God. You think of the wonderful friendship there was between David and Jonathan. How they walked together. They were true friends, not only in a natural way, but in the things of God too. They were so different, weren't they, than how Saul treated David and with Jonathan. He didn't show himself friendly, did he? He was at enmity with them. And enmity is a terrible sin. And, you know, we need to lay this to heart now. It's not my word. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And he's illustrated, of course, earlier in the chapter, and I thought how searching it was as we read it together. How we live and how we walk. He says here, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the inmost parts of his belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You know, if you look in the Word of God, he speaks so solemnly of wasters. And you know, I understand this a little in this sense, that you look at people that don't want to work and don't want to do this, really you might term them in the land as wasters. And think about it in religion. Solemn thing if we're wasters. And why I say it is because, you know, as an old blacksmith that used to make horseshoes, and to make them you have to put it in the furnace and make the iron hot and shape it to its how it's supposed to be to fit the horse's hooves. But you know, in that furnace, can get a coal in that furnace that is called a waster. And that waster will draw all the heat to it. So when the ironmonger or the man that is making that horseshoe tries to make it, he cannot, because there's a waster in the fire, drawing all the heat away from what he wants the heat to do in forming this, and it's called a waster. And I've thought about that solemnly, you know, over the years many times. Where do we really stand? Are we wasters in the denomination? Are we wasters in the house of God? Drawing things away from what is vital. You see, that waster draws all the heat away. So the blacksmith or the man that is doing the work cannot do his work because of wasters. And until that waster is took out of the fire, it's a certain type of coal which you can't detect it from the rest when it's put in there. But it's a waster. And here, and it reminded me as we read this verse, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a waster. Now I don't know why I named that, I had no intention, but you see, it's a searching point. And this often exercises me. Am I a waster in the church of God? You see, there are those that will creep in a church or in a congregation, and they draw this one away to lightness, or they draw one away to bring things in that are contrary to the rules and deeds of the church and so on. And they be classed as wasters in the sight of God. Not in my sight or in man's, but it's seen, you see. But no man would know that waster was in the fire until the ironmonger or who is making that horseshoe or whatever he's making tries to use the heat that's in it, and there's no heat at all, drawn away, you see. Well, I'll leave that for your meditation. May the Lord make us true friends to his people, like David and Jonathan, you see. And then, of course, we have that wonderful account of Naomi and Ruth. How they were true friends in the vital things of God. Oh, they were. But I want to come to the latter part. You see, he speaks this as a forerunner. And may we lay it to heart. a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I remember when I took the pastorate at Ashwell, one of the old ministers, he said to me, he said, you know, you'll have your friends and they'll stick close to you. But he said, you'll have those that'll be a liability to you. But he said, what you've got to do with them is this. You've got to kill them with kindness. And you often think about that, you know. Not cut them off or despise them. That's what the natural man would do. But kill them with kindness. In other words, show friendship to them at all times. And here the Lord Jesus, or the Lord by the Holy Spirit, sets it forth, doesn't he? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. But then this vital point, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who is this blessed friend? It is none other than the Lord Jesus himself, the friend of sinners. The friend of sinners. And you think of that dear friend, the dear Redeemer, how he showed his friendship to sinners by coming into this earth, first of all, for suffering, bleeding, dying for them. Laying down his precious life. Oh, the friendship he showed, even to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the ungodly in his day. They could never say that he showed enmity against them. Oh, what a friend we sing, don't we? We have in Jesus. And poor soul, this friend sticketh closer than a brother. He does. Closer than. So he's very close to his dear children. What for? To supply their every need. Whatever it may be, whether it be in providence or in grace. You know, if you're in need, you'll soon find who your friends are. They'll always come to your aid. This blessed friend is ever coming to the aid of his dear people. And you look how, and I speak it with much reverence, he came into this world to be made sin for us who knew no sin. Greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And oh, how he laid that down for his dear friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. You see, it's a proof of our friendship doing what the Lord commands us. Well, that, I'll leave that for your meditation. You know what he's commanded you. You know, the commandments of the Lord are vast throughout the Word of God. We know we have the Ten Commandments, but then think of many other commandments. All the commandments which I command thee this day thou shalt do. We're commanded to keep the Sabbath day. We're commanded to honour our father and our mother. We're commanded to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yea, my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And he says in their text, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend. This glorious friend of sinners that sticketh closer. That seemed very sweet to me, you know. He sticketh closer than a brother. Why? Because, poor soul, he can help you whenever you need that help. He can undertake for you whenever you need him to undertake for you, because he's close to you. And may we be favoured to feel that closeness, that oneness to him. We read concerning Noah and we read concerning Enoch that they both walked with God. They lived ever so close to the Lord and he was close to them. Think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon that we read of. It's a very sacred chapter. I know it's very deep and profound, and many will say, well, we can't understand some things that are in the book of the Song of Solomon. They're deep and profound. But to the child of God, there's a wonderful reality in them. And in that fifth chapter, we have the blessed description which the bride, the spouse of Christ, spoke as she looked upon her beloved Saviour. And she describes him, doesn't she? From the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He meant everything to her. He was sticking closer to her than a brother. He was her beloved. And she describes him so beautifully here. And what conclusion does she come to? She says this: his mouth is most sweet. How could she say it? Because she'd experienced the kisses of his mouth. She knew what it was for him to give her a kiss of love, a kiss of peace, a kiss of pardon. And she knew what it was for to pray, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For his mouth is most sweet. And not only that, she could say his mouth was most sweet because he'd spoken some most sweet words to her, hadn't he? She says in chapter 2, my beloved spake. Now look in your heart and mine, we would bring it right home to our own souls. Could we say his mouth is most sweet? Because we've had the kisses of his mouth. We've heard the words of his mouth. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. I noticed behind our house this morning, the shepherd came out among the sheep and the lambs, and he only had to say one word and they all looked immediately to him. They knew his voice. And they go running up to him because it's he that feeds them. It's he that attends to them when they're lame and weak and helpless. Think of the poor sinner today. You've got a friend, poor soul, what a friend we have in Jesus. And the spouse knew this blessed friend. She said his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. altogether lovely. What a beautiful description of him, wasn't it? This glorious friend she had in Jesus. He's altogether lovely. Why, everything she needed for time and for eternity was found in him. What about you and me? None but Jesus, we sing, can do helpless sinners good. Yea, he's altogether lovely. You know, you can have some lovely things here in this earth. You view them. They're lovely things. You can see this time of year with the rhododendrons coming out and azaleas, the beautiful hand of creation. Lovely things in creation. But you know, there's a loveliness in the dear Redeemer. All there is to sinners. He's suited to their very case. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And then she goes further and says he's altogether lovely. Surpassing every other lovely thing. Nothing to be compared with him. We sing, don't we? Compared with Christ in all beside. No comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. One with this blessed friend, the dear Redeemer. And then she goes further. She said, this is my beloved. This is my beloved. Oh, her very soul views her beloved Saviour. One with him, by eternal union one. Her beloved. She's attracted to him, you see. Drawn to him by his love to her and hers to him. This is my beloved. And then she says this, and this is why we read the chapter really. And this is my friend. This is my friend. One there is, we hope to sing at the close, above all other, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother, costly, free, and knows no end. They that once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. When my father, just before he went in hospital the last time, he couldn't, was not well enough to go to chapel on the Sunday, and they wanted to have a hymn singing in the evening around his bed, and they asked him what hymn he liked to sing, and he chose that 133rd hymn, you know, and I've never forgot it, you know. What a friend, you see, he felt in Jesus. If you and I come to that hour like he was, near in eternity, you'll need this friend, poor soul. You may have never needed him before, but you'll need him then, and so shall I. This is my friend, she said. There was no doubt about it in the spouse's heart. This is my friend, you see. She could speak so well of him, couldn't she? This is my friend. Could you say this morning? Well, let me come low. Do you desire to say this morning, this is my friend? You often hear people that introduce somebody to you and they say, well, this is one of my friends. But you see, there's that union between them. But what about it spiritually? Have we a friend above, a one above, that sits on no precarious throne or bars leave to be? This is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Closer than a brother. Wonderful thing to have a brother or sister you're close to. Oh, very close, or like between husband and wife, together, you see. But this glorious friend, and he knows all you need, child of God. There'll be the things that exercise you and burden you today, but you go to this friend. Don't take it anywhere else. He understands, you see. And where there's real friendship, looking at it naturally, one with the other, we understand each other, don't we? And that's a wonderful thing, you know. I think of some of the Lord's dear servants that are now in glory that I've walked with, you know. They were good friends to me. We walked together in things, you see. There was that sweet flowing together. Think that beautiful word in Jeremiah. They flow together to the goodness of the Lord. The two to journeying to Emmaus, there was that sweet flowing together between them and the Saviour. He was their friend, their dear Redeemer. And you think in all Job's trouble, and some of you may have got troubles that really concern you today. They may be of soul, they may be of body, they may be of circumstance, they may be in the family. These troubles. But you know, this friend, he will stick closer to you in it all than a brother. Oh, he will. To do everything that you need. To undertake for you in it, you see. He will manage all, the hymn writer said, by the way and to the end, that sticketh closer than a brother. And oh, the sinner's love to their friend, because he's done so much for them, everything for them, their love to him. It surpasses the love of women. The love there is between the sinner and their dear friend, the Lord Jesus. He sticketh closer. Now, you think of the pathway that may be before you. In times of trouble and times of need, which I've hinted at, how those dear friends stick close to you, through thick and through thin. But think about it far greater so spiritual. This glorious friend, he will never leave his dear children. They may not always feel him with them, but he's with them at all times because they're part of him. Oh, they are. The hymn writer said, I'm married to the Lord the Lamb. If we are married to him, this glorious friend, the day will come when you'll see him as he is in glory, without a veil between you, this glorious friend. So he says here, and the Holy Spirit has sweetly left it on record, a man that hath friends, and may we lay this to heart, must. Not, oh, well, they've got to do this or got to do that. He doesn't say that. Must show himself friend. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now that's what the Holy Spirit has recorded. But oh, that we might sweetly experience it. He sticketh fast from first to last with the sinner, to carry them through life and to carry them into glory. To see him as he is, in all his glory in heaven. And then, of course, to sing his praises and crown him Lord of all. And oh, may our soul anticipate that day and mount up on wings and fly away to joys beyond the skies. The devil may tempt you and say, oh, but he's not your friend. And he really tries you, but yet in your inmost soul, deep within you, you'll feel this friend. Draws all your affections, all your love, and he draws you away from this earth and draws you to himself. Oh, he does. Think of what I often quote in prayer, what the spouse said on another occasion. She said, draw me. And we will run after thee. And you see, she knew those drawings of this friend, and she was willing to run after him and to obey his voice. Think of what we quoted earlier, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen.